KQED. Good morning. This is the California Report podcast. I'm Penny Nelson. A federal court in San Francisco ordered the EPA yesterday to revise standards on the hazards of lead paint and its dust within 15 months to protect children. The court said the EPA's multi-year delay in acting on the matter posed a clear threat to human welfare. The ruling's in response to a lawsuit filed last year by environmental groups. Meanwhile, the massive Thomas Fire is now 91% contained. Evacuees are returning to find out what's left of their homes and their neighborhoods. Reporter Stephanie O'Neill spent a day in the Upper Ojai Valley, where a quarter of all residents lost everything.
Here in the parking lot of the Stagecoach Station General Store, a posse of residents is operating a makeshift relief center for victims of what is now California's largest wildfire on record. Piles of donated clothing sit next to bales of free hay for livestock. A portable storage bin filled with donated toys stands next to one offering rakes, shovels, chainsaws, and shop vacs.
Every single thing you see in this parking lot has been donated.
Trevor Quirk is helping lead the all-volunteer operation that's supporting residents who've lost all they've owned in the massive wildfire that exploded to life December 4th.
There's stuff that's coming in from Louisiana. There was a truckload of ladies that drove here from Colorado today.
One of the destroyed homes belongs to Diana Luboff, a nursery school teacher. She and her family escaped from their home of 30 years with just a few photos, five cats, and two pet pythons. The rest, she says, is gone.
We've been up going through the debris in our house. Really, it's debris. It's rubble. This is the second time we've done it. I was up here 2 days ago, and I cried for five straight hours because nothing's salvageable, really.
As the fire approached, artist Peter Swart began alerting neighbors and then rescued his friend's two large dogs before escaping the flames that took his rented home and everything he owned. None of it, he says, was insured.
It's taken me over a week to actually come here and look at what I lost.
Including 35 years of his paintings, a 1961 MG he was restoring, and his deceased parents' wedding rings.
That's kind of a sentimental piece that I like to find, but I doubt with the heat of this fire.
Still, he, like others here, say he's grateful to live in the Upper Ojai, where the Volunteer Fire Relief Station has brought a sort of community center to a community that's never really had a center. And it's that newfound social fabric that's convinced Diana Luboff and husband Tony to rebuild their home here in the Upper Ojai Valley.
And I think it's going to be very different. As we rebuild, we're going to do it together. And my first response was I didn't want to live here ever again. But I love it here so much. I can't imagine living anywhere else.
This time, Luboff says, instead of wood, she'll rebuild using concrete and steel. For the California Report, I'm Stephanie O'Neill in Ojai.
Two Cambodian men facing deportation for crimes committed decades ago were pardoned by Governor Jerry Brown over the Christmas weekend. But KQED's Alyssa Jong Perry reports their fight to stay in the country is anything but over.
In his pardon statements, Brown said the two men from Northern California have paid their debts to society and are law-abiding citizens. Moni Neth and Rotenek Kong were children when their families became refugees in the U.S., escaping the violent Khmer Rouge. But their green cards were revoked because of crimes they committed as young men. For years, Cambodia did not accept deportees, but the Trump administration has ramped up pressure on Cambodia and started rounding up Cambodian immigrants with criminal pasts. These pardons could help Neth and Kong stay in the U.S., but it's not a guarantee. Kevin Lowe is Neth's attorney.
Even with the pardon, it's not an automatic stop to the deportation.
Earlier this month, just days before Neth and Kong were to be deported, a federal judge issued a temporary reprieve after a lawsuit was filed to protect all Cambodians targeted by Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Now Lo needs to make a case that the two should get their green cards back because their crimes have been erased.
What we're trying to do for these men is basically get their old deportation orders reopened, and then we're arguing why they are not currently deportable.
But an ICE spokesman said the agency's lawyers haven't yet decided on how to proceed. And Lo says the nearly 2,000 other Cambodians facing deportation can't hold out much hope for a pardon to protect them. For the California Report, I'm Alyssa Jong Perry.
Support for the California Report comes from CCRM. Using today's technology and care, CCRM physicians help people achieve fertility goals and build families. Now open in Menlo Park. Learn more at ccrmivf.com/San Francisco. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected, on the web at theschmidt.org. And Paint Care, now with more than 800 drop-off sites in California where households and businesses can recycle their leftover paint. More at paintcare.org.
Next Monday, a bit of household history will become history. That's when the good old-fashioned light bulb will go out. Stores will start selling off the last of their regular incandescent bulbs. KQED science editor Craig Miller is here to shed some light on the issue.
Hey, Penny.
Hey there. So we're talking about the traditional screw-in light bulb that's been around since its inventor, Thomas Edison, created
that's
it.
Right.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's the one that goes on over your head when you have an idea. You know, the classic tungsten filament Edison socket. They still call that thing you screw it into. Halogen bulbs, too, by the way, are included in this. It's kind of the last gasp of a phase-out of these bulbs that's been going on since a law was passed nationally like 10 years ago. But California's a couple of years ahead of the timetable.
So going forward, people will be able to buy fluorescent or LED bulbs, which are more efficient. But how much more efficient really are they?
Well, that goes right to the reason for all of this, which is that the old bulbs just use too much energy. We still tend to think about brightness in terms of watts. It's kind of been, you know, bred into us. So you take a typical 60-watt incandescent bulb, it gives off about 800 lumens, which is how they actually measure brightness in bulbs. You can get the same 800 lumens out of an LED bulb using just 10 watts of electricity. So, you know,
that's a lot.
Yeah, millions of households, it adds up.
Will the state expect to see energy efficiency go sky high overnight?
No, not exactly. First of all, the stores are allowed to sell off their current inventory of the old bulbs, and that's going to take a while. It's just bulbs made after January 1st that they can't sell. And also, it's estimated that there are 250 million of these legacy bulbs still sitting in sockets around the state. So it's going to be a process, but eventually they're hoping to save $1 billion a year for consumers on electric bills.
All right. Thanks a lot, Craig.
Okay.
That's KQED's science editor, Craig Miller. And that's the California Report for Thursday, December 28th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Penny Nelson. I hope you have a great day.